Today we have Janice Ian, a very special guest. We've talked about her in the first hour of the program. She has a brand new album, The Light at the End of the Line, and so much to discuss about this album, all of her influences, as we've touched on a little bit in the first part of the program. We're going to play for you I'm Still Standing. We'll get right into our discussion with Janice Ian. Such a pleasure to have her as a guest. Thanks so much to you for tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. There to the audience of Unreal Bluegrass. You just heard a brand new song, I'm Still Standing, from my guest today, Janice Ian, who has a brand new album, The Light at the End of the Line. Janice, I'm so happy to have you as a guest today.
Steve, pleasure. Boy, I haven't been in Kentucky forever. It's really nice to hear the accent.
Yeah. Well, I've never been told that I have one, but I could get one if you want.
Well, you kind of have that, that Kentucky-Cincinnati A going on.
That's
there.
It. That's it. That's me. My whole life was in the shadow of Cincinnati, although I've always been in Kentucky.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. No. I'm happy that I still have some remnant of my upbringing, I guess, a little bit. So, this new album is so great. There's 12 cuts on it. I've listened. The songs do sort of tell a story. In some of your writings, you talk about, I love the fact that they're connected, that they're 1 through 12, and that you intend for people to listen in that fashion. So we've listened already to I'm Still Standing. Talk a little bit about that one, and then I'll talk some more about the album in general and what I think some of the points could be for me to let you talk about. Go ahead.
I'm Still Standing, I think, is the oldest song on the album, and I wrote it for myself, really. I wrote it for myself to say, look, here are these bruises, here are these scars, here is what happens as you grow older, and it's okay. Because without these bruises and these scars, I would be just like everybody else. And I was surprised by that song because the first time that I sang it for another songwriter, it was two very young songwriters, 18, 19 years old. And we were trading off, as you do at the beginning of a co-writing session, well, here's what I've been doing lately. So I sang it for them, and the young woman burst into tears. And I thought, oh, my God, wasn't that bad a song? And she said, oh, my gosh, that's my life. And up until that moment, Steve, I had thought of the song as being a song for someone older. So I asked her, and I said, you're like 19 years old. How could this be about you? And she said, no. That's how I feel. I feel like every time something happens in my life, it leaves a scar, it leaves a bruise. But when you say you can feel them through your fingertips like Braille, that's what I want from the people who know me. I want them to know my scars and know my life.
Wow.
It just blew me away because as a writer, you never know the effect your music might be having on someone until you hear about it. It's why your connection to your fans, I think, is so important. They let you know what your music has done for them, and that's a big piece of your life.
It is, and I think especially for Janice Ian. Janice, you in this song, I think, is connected a little bit to the same reaction that people had to, this, I guess it was 1975 when you released at 17.
Absolutely.
I'm sure you had people, listen, we were all 17. When that song came out, everybody was 17. I was everything at that age, and everything applied. We were all 17 again, even though I was a little over that age. But I think that song also kind of made you tougher. I'm Still Standing, that in Society's Child, which I want to talk about in a minute in relation to some of the songs on the new album. But at 17, I bet you've never performed that where someone doesn't come up and say, that was me.
That's true. And in the years between 1974, I think, when I started singing it, and now, I think I've not performed it once. And that was by accident. And I wound up saying to the audience after my encores, hey, I'm sorry, the sound system's off, but just gather around and I'll sing it.
Oh, did you really?
I did, because to me it would be cheating the audience if I didn't do that song.
How could they walk away and not hear at 17? Because it's still there. It's still impactful. And I know that has to do with some of your reaction to these songwriters, these young songwriters, as you sing I'm Still Standing. The other tune that I think is equally powerful, well, they all are. And I do want to stress that you make the point in some notes about the album, of this album, the contents actually being sort of an arc, and that they do kind of progress. And then we'll talk about the last song as we get a little bit of time. But Resist is even a stronger song about, a stronger comment about your perseverance, and I think in everybody's perseverance in that way.
Yeah, one of the things that I loved about Resist was I thought as I was writing it, I fought my own discomfort at some of the lines, and I went with the lines that were making me a little uncomfortable because I thought, but that's what needs to be said. One of the things that I loved when it was finally finished was that it encapsulated everything I felt as a woman, but also as a human being. And the first time that I really sang the whole song was at the Cambridge Folk Festival, where John Prine and I were headlining a few years ago. And I loved that as the audience rushed the stage and started singing with me, it was equal parts male and female.
Yeah.
Because I think the important thing to remember is that no matter what sex, what gender, what race you may be, what nationality, if you are devalued, you are devalued, period. And we need to sort that out as a civilization, as a human species. We need to sort that out.
We still are. And I love the resist. I love that repetition.
Thank you, because that was one young woman after Cambridge said, I just hear Janice Ian rapping.
Exactly.
And I thought, well, I have word jazz, Ken Nordine. I mean, spoken word music has been around for a lot longer
than
I have.
That's right. I had that little note there, too, just as a shortcut for me to remind you about that.
there you go.
And it's a great song. I want to play that in a minute, but before I do that, and I want to play Resist, I want to talk to you about some other songs before we do that, and I'll take your comments as an intro to that. But let's then skip to a favorite tune. Well, they're all great songs. And I will say this. The Light at the End of the Line, as we're talking about the impactful songs that you've done, you continue to do. This album is full of those things also that will touch people's soul. The Light at the End of the Line, I know there was a lot of trauma over Society's Child. I mean, I was alive then, and it came out, and I know what you faced because I've heard parts of your biography, and it's to me an amazing event to have to live through that you were able to. Did you know you were going to be that part of the edge, that much of the edge of that issue?
No, I didn't expect to get death threats. This radio station was burned down to the ground.
That's incredible.
People were fired. You know, it was pretty volatile, and as we know from the Aubrey case and other cases here in the United States, we are still dealing with that. We are still dealing with the whole issue of race and racism in a big way. In the 60s, all my friends were talking about it. My parents were talking about it, and I was writing about it, as were many other writers. I happened to have the hit record with it. But none of us, not the producer, not the record company, not the manager, none of us expected it to go to the level of violence that it went to. And it was traumatic. You're right. It was very traumatic. And part of the Light at the End of the Line song is just a thank you to all the people who stuck by me. Because I was 14, 15, 16 years old getting these death threats, and yet they were balanced by the people who would say, we're here. We're here for you. We love what you're doing. Don't stop.
Yeah, I mean,
it's the story of my life.
It's amazing, and you don't stop. You resist, and you're still standing. And we can tie all these into a long sentence to make the Janice Ian life.
You got your own album title.
That's
here.
Right. That's right. So the Society's Child wound up being. Am I correct that it was? It wasn't really happening. It wasn't clicking. And then Leonard Bernstein took it and used it into
That's
a show.
True. Yeah. Yes. We kept trying to get it played, and they played it in New York, and they played it in Flint, Michigan. They played it in a few other places. Armed Forces Radio played it over in Vietnam.
Mm.
But we couldn't get it on the regular stations. And then Leonard Bernstein featured it in a television special at a time when there were only 7 channels. And he made it 15 minutes, I think. And he said to radio, shame on you. Shame on you for being so cowardly. And the next day, all of a sudden, stations went on it and they were apologizing.
That's a big...
It was an amazing thing to be a part of.
That's a very powerful voice to have in your corner. You know, out of taking a 14, 15-year-old young girl who's written a song, and all of a sudden Leonard Bernstein is saying, America, listen and play this and make it available to your... To the citizenry to hear it, because it's an issue that certainly existed then. It still does now. I mean, I think we're making a little progress, Janice. But it's been a long time. I hope we can keep. But so the song, the light at the end of the line is sort of reflecting back on that impact. And I know you mentioned the trauma and some notes that you have about it. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's a thank you, really. That's how I look at it anyway. It's a thank you and hopefully a hopeful song, because I think that whether you look at it as a spiritual thing, that there's a light at the end of your life, or whether you look at it that there's a physical light in your life, whether it's your beloved or your work or your children, whatever, there is, I believe, always some sort of light. There is always something to strive for, and something that will envelop you and warm you and make your day go by a little bit easier. And it was important to me to say thank you to all the fans. And it's a cliche. It sounds very Pollyanna-ish, I know, but it's like Livingston Taylor says, you know, we don't pay them to listen.
That's right.
They pay us.
That's right.
And so there's a debt of gratitude to me that 55 years after I started, or 56, I can still make a living doing this, and I can still tour. It's amazing.
It is, and I've mentioned this before. I've seen you perform live. Your connection with an audience is just remarkable. You're a very good guitar player. You're an excellent, excellent singer. And I would love. I could spend an hour talking about your vocals on this and other albums before that.
Oh, no.
We're not going to do that.
Not that good.
No. There are some stuff where you have a nearly operatic range and a power, but that's for another day. That's not on this album that we're talking about. After the light at the end of the line, better times will come. And I would. This is the longest cut on the album by far. It has.
it's the longest cut I've ever done.
It has John Cowan and Sam Bush and all these great names and Diane Shore. Because when I'm listening to it, I'm hearing whose voice is that? Well, it's Diane Shore when I go back and look. So this song it starts out very slowly. It almost becomes what would be a second line parade song in New Orleans by the time it's finished.
Absolutely.
As far as the celebration.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that grew out of a song called Better Times Will Come that I wrote the day after John Prine died.
Mm-hmm.
And the only three-chord song I've ever written, and probably the closest to a real folk song that I've ever written, that turned into the Better Times Project, bettertimeswillcome.com, where we've got 188 different versions of the same song. And when it came my time to record it, I really didn't want to do it the way that anybody else had done it. So I called Victor Krause, one of the great bass players of our time.
Yes, excellent.
And I said, here's my thought. We make this the arc of COVID.
Mm.
And we make it so that it begins sadly, and then we have our ups and our downs and our ups and our downs. And we put together, literally sat there with our address books and said, oh, he'd be great. Oh, she'd be great. Oh, I don't think she can do it. You know, and I had always wanted John Cowan to take a solo on one of my albums. So that he took that first entire verse was just great.
Mm-hmm.
I had said to Vince Gill last time I'd seen him, on my next album, would you do all the lead guitar work? And he said yes. So I called him and I said, I know you're out with the Eagles, but if you got time for a little 16-bar solo, that'd be great. Diane had cut a song of mine called Hearts Take Time years ago that I wrote with Kai Fleming, and we had been talking all through lockdown. So I called on my friends, really, and my friends really came through. Every single one of them said yes.
I want to play. We've talked about Resist. I want to cut that in now, and I'm going to come back and say goodbye to you. So let's listen to Resist if we've discussed it, and I'm going to come back just for a minute or two with Janice Ian, my guest today on Unreal Bluegrass. All right, we're back. You heard Resist from Janice Ian. I wanted to thank her so much. We could go forever talking about this album. Because it encompasses its beginning, and it does come around to a happy ending. The name of the album is The Light at the End of the Line. And tell everybody where they can get this, where they'll be able to find this when it drops.
Gosh, it drops on January 21st, I believe. And at that point, you can buy it at all of the regular digital and physical outlets. I'm not going to name them because I don't want to give everybody press at the expense of anybody else.
Right.
You can also go to janiceian.com and you can buy it from us, although we have to charge postage, unfortunately. But we'll also be carrying full digital, not just the MP3s, but the FLAC files as well. So it should be available everywhere.
We barely scratched the surface. There's so many great stories and so many great songs, and I'm so happy, Janice, that you had the opportunity to be here for the people of Unreal Bluegrass, who will definitely appreciate your music, I promise.
Thanks a million, Steve. Much appreciated.
Hey, listen.
Have a good one.
As we leave, I'm gonna drop in the light at the end of the line, and then I'll just say goodbye to you and that's it. I'll clean up some of these things for you. I just want to let you know what I'm doing. So
thanks.
Appreciate it so much. Bye bye.
Thanks. Bye bye, Steve.